Dr. K here from Mark Steiner here on The Mark Steiner Show. This hour, we've been discussing what's been happening across our city. We talked about Douglas High School in the first half hour. We now turn to a movie screening that was shut down this weekend at the Charles Theater in Baltimore. We want to hear from you. Call us at 410-319-8888. Tweet us at Mark Steiner or at K Whitehead. Or visit us on our Facebook page at www.steinershow.org. I need to definitely say his name right. I'm sitting in for him. We have a couple of folks in the studio with us. Haru is back. He's an activist with the Urban Youth Initiative Project and the Pan-African Liberation Movement. Thanks for staying with us.
Glad to be here.
Yes. A.F. James MacArthur is still here, blogger for the Baltimore Spectator. He's also a watcher over schools here in Baltimore
School
City.
Watcher.
Thank you for staying with us.
Thank
and,
you.
Of course, we have the wonderful, the highly well-known Dr. Ray Wimbush, who's a director of the Institute for Urban Research at Morgan State University, author of The Warrior Method. And Dr. Raleigh Ellington is here. She's part of the women here holding it down, associate professor of mathematics education here at Morgan State University. And on the phone at some point, we'll know when, we'll have Stanley Nelson. We have Stanley Nelson. I just got the heads up. I'm learning this radio thing on the spot here. Stanley Nelson is an Emmy Award-winning documentary filmmaker. He's a MacArthur Genius Fellow. He's a member of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. He's also the director, producer, and writer of the Black Panthers Vanguard of the Revolution. This weekend, during a screening of his film at the Charles Theater, Dr. Stanley Nelson was scheduled to speak along with DeRay McKesson, who's part of the Black Lives Matter movement. A tweet came through stating that people were going to be shot at the theater, and they shut down and evacuated the theater because of threats on Twitter. Mr. Nelson, I'd like to start with you. Can you talk just a little bit, set up about what the film is about, and then tell us what happened on Saturday?
Well, the film is a documentary on the Black Panthers, kind of the rise and fall of the Black Panthers. We opened in New York 2.5 weeks ago. We've been selling out. Last weekend, Friday, was our opening in Baltimore, and Saturday we had a number of sold-out screenings with guests, including myself, who were there when this message came in to somebody on Twitter. And it was very kind of vague, just said, you know, there'll be shootings at the theater. Apparently, the guy who tweeted this thing, tweets a lot about DeRay, who was the moderator at the 1:15 show, and kind of follows him around, and wherever he goes, does these tweets. That's my understanding. You know, the police came and didn't feel like it was really that much of a threat, but the theater owner decided that he was going to shut down the theater for the rest of the day, partially because the staff somehow, I think, got heard about this and panicked and didn't really hear about, you know, the actual severity of the threat. And they refused to work, and it just kind of escalated from there and became a nutty scene. But my understanding is the film played yesterday, you know, all day without incidents, and is playing all week. Until, you know, through Thursday at the Charles Theater all day, every day, so we hope people come out and see it.
Let me also ask you, because I know we only have you for just a short amount of time. There's some that consider you to be at least a bit of an insider here with what's happening with films, from your Emmys to your Genius Fellow. Do you think that we're maybe starting to see some type of shift for what's happening with Black movies? I mean, we saw it with the Spike Lee genre, right? So you had a number of Black films coming out. People were able to get in once Spike Lee cracked the door. Then it seemed like the door closed a bit. And it opened back up with a different type of genre. I'm thinking F. Gary Gray and the Friday-type films. And it seemed to be closed for a while. Is it opening back up now? Is this a time for Black filmmakers to kind of get through that doorway?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, Black moviegoers, and I think people are recognizing that's a real crowd. You know, we opened in at the Magic Johnson in New York City on 125th Street 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and a week ago. And when we opened on Friday night, you know, we sold out for the Black Panthers. They also were selling tickets like crazy for The Perfect Guy, you know, which is kind of a Black movie, totally different kind of Black movie.
Just a little bit.
So, you know, there were a lot of tickets sold. There were a lot of Black folks going to movies. And also, you know, I think that there's a lot more people of other races going to see movies with Black people, you know. So we're at Film Forum in New York down in the Village, and our audience is there. have been, you know, sometimes half, sometimes two-thirds white. And we've sold out the evening screenings like 18 straight days. So, you know, you just never know. I hopefully, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, this is the time for black movies. It rolls around every 10 years. but we'll see, you know, but I think a lot of times the African-Americans now have recognized that, you know, sometimes when they go to the movies, they want to see themselves on the screen.
Right. You know, but before Haru wanted to ask you a quick question. Haru?
Sure.
Yes, I saw the film. I think it was excellent, very well done. I read up how you thought when you began this process about 7 years ago that the climate had changed and people probably wouldn't be able to relate to life in the 60s. Now that we've had all these incidences of police terrorism and, violence, how has the audiences responded to the film that you've been able to attend and do your, what is it?
He's doing a little commentary.
Yeah,
after
your commentary
the
after the film.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, you know, we were in three theaters before this weekend, and we were extended in every theater, two in New York and in Boston, you know, of all places. So, you know, the audience reaction has been great. I think part of that has been in reaction to what's going on. You know, I think that people have, you know, minds are a little bit more open to the Black Panthers, who started because of police brutality. And people come and they see the similarities to the situation today. So, you know, I was at the screenings yesterday in Philly, and the African American Student Association at Penn bought like 75 tickets. You know,
wow.
So, yeah, I looked down the audience. It was full of, you know, black college students, you know. So I think there's a huge interest in the film. And a lot of that is because of what's going on in our country today.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Mr. Nelson. I can barely keep my eyes open because I made my 14-year-old and my 13-year-old do an Eyes on the Prize weekend. That's all they've been watching since Saturday morning, and I'm exhausted. But we thank you so much. We look forward to supporting the film. And we now turn to our panel. Dr. Ray, you were there. Yeah. Can you talk a bit about this experience and whether or not there's a shift to try to move away from getting people even in the theaters to see black films? I mean, now they're threatening us if we go.
Well, it is. I mean, I had actually seen the film this past summer when Brother Stanley, who's my colleague here at Morgan, showed it at a screening of Maryland Film Festival. I remember it well because I was sitting directly behind the eminent director, John Waters, who's a Baltimore resident. So I wanted to see it again primarily because I knew that Stanley was going to be leading the discussion. So I went there, and the guy, I always park across the street, these brothers know me over there, and he said, "Doc, I don't think you're getting in there today." And I looked at everybody was outside the theater. I thought they were waiting in line, and then I heard what had happened. The crowd that was there was speculating about what Stanley said about D. Ray McKesson. They were also speculating about the anger still rising up by local police about the Black Panther Party as connected with Eddie Conway 40 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, but see, that's how things, you know, you don't know. Right. Somebody, whoever this guy is that follows D. Ray around the country and really goes after him.
He's very committed to wherever D. Ray is. This guy tweets out and says,
"I
see you. I mean, I know what you're doing." It's really fascinating.
It's COINTELPRO stuff. And I think that, you know, we finally are getting some films that are very serious films. We can talk about what's the NWA film?
Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton.
You're talking The Perfect Guy, and you also
I don't know about Perfect Guy.
No, I'm saying,
ain't The Perfect Man.
But we're talking about having blacks in lead roles. We're now at this point, at this moment, in addition to Straight Outta Compton, The Perfect Guy, and War Room, you're seeing the number one spot at least shifting among films that have a predominantly black cast or blacks in the lead.
And I don't want to add a but to that, but during 1970, we really thought that during what was now being called the blaxploitation film era, we had a lot of good films in the 70s besides, you know, Big Gun and Blackula. They were
Out of the Afro.
Right,
which
all of that stuff. So, I, you know, it's like Stanley said, this seems like this goes in cycles once every 10 years. What really will talk is if black folks support these films along with white folks. So last I heard, I think, which is Straight Out of Compton, it grossed over $140 million, only cost $25 million to make.
My word.
That's what they're going to respect in Hollywood is the it's green. The
well, let me come to you, Ronnie. What's interesting? So there's a tweet sent out, threat. You take them out of the Charles Theater, you shut it down. But there was shooting at Batman. There was shooting at, you know, Amy Schumer's train wreck.
That's right.
And they continued showing the movie.
The same day.
The same day. They just, you know, cleaned it up for the midnight shooting, and the theater was open the next day. So what is this backlash? Is it just taking
the backlash, girl?
But that's why I want you to say it, Ronnie. I can't say it.
But, you know, first of all, it's the content of the movie. It's not the fact that it was just a black movie.
Right.
A movie about the history of the Black Panthers is very different than The Perfect God. Love me some Michael Ealy, by the way. I'm not going to dispute that. But we're talking apples and oranges. You know, that story, not that I've seen it, I can't wait
apples
to see it.
Apples and corn chips.
Yeah. It's a completely different thing to actually see a movie about the history of an organization that we just know as, oh, they was just radical. You know, most black people don't understand what the Black Panthers did that actually moved us forward.
This would
be actually giving us some insight into what can empower us today. And you know that's not going to be embraced. Now, The Perfect Guy might run, but that there's some issues. So it's not just that it's a black film. It's the content of the black film. Right. I'm surprised Selma didn't have as much. I mean, I think Selma was in that kind of genre trying to document that movement. It was a different animal than, you know, the Best Man Holiday, if you will. You know what I'm saying? These are two totally different conversations, because watching the Black Panther documentary is going to open up something in the listeners that's not going to get opened up in your typical black film, even though we're proud to see more black people in theater. So let's call a thing a thing. It's not the same.
Well, what do you think, AF? Because, I mean, Ronnie just brought up Selma, and Selma was, of course, very popular. It was also a narrative film. And for some that were part of that time period, who came up through the civil rights movement, there were big complaints going, you know, you've completely written out the role that women play. You've completely written out anybody but King as martyr. So the film just resonated with people. Well, the Black Panthers, that's a documentary.
Yeah.
I mean, he is telling it like it is. So is that the reason we have this backlash? Not just what happened 40 years ago, but because of Black Lives Matter and the push against to have, you know, White Lives Matter or All Lives Matter or Cop Lives Matter or, you know,
Chickens
Baltimore
Matter.
You know,
yeah, everybody matters.
Cecil matters, right? Matter.
Save the whales, you know. I mean, remember that?
Right.
But, okay, first off, I haven't seen the film yet, but in synchronicity with it, being inspired by my brother, Dr. Wimbush, over here, I put out this little meme over the weekend of Dr. Huey P. Newton, and I was surprised at the reaction of how many people said, I didn't know
he had a PhD.
And
That's right.
This ties into that. This was before that happened. I just put it out there, you know, and it stirred conversation. I put it on Facebook and Twitter, and I said, wow, that's the problem. Everyone knows of the Panthers,
heard of them, but
do they really understand, first of all, that it was a self-defense organization, first and foremost?
Right.
People don't really understand.
And
that's
feeding programs early on, in low-income neighborhoods.
Right. I know
that's
people who were part of the feeder programs, the original ones, out there on the West Coast, you know. So I mean, my roots run deep on this, and of course it's all part of the continued miseducation.
That's right.
But I think it's very interesting that the screenings happen elsewhere with the commentary, but that disruption only happened here in Baltimore. It's like there is this ongoing effort to keep Baltimore in a certain place. And if any education is coming along to elevate, we can't
if
have that.
If it goes against
not
the
there.
Dominant narrative, it's going to be squelched, yes.
And one more point, because I did see the movie Friday night, that I think it is a self-defense organization. Dr. Huey P. Newton did have a PhD, but what struck me the most about this film was that the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was a youth movement.
Yes.
It was.
It was all young people.
Yeah.
And when you talk about, you know, full circle, what we came and sat down and talk about from the beginning, waking up those youth and letting them know that this rage has a target, a proper target, and that we have lessons to learn from in the past, I think that may be the major reason why they don't want us sitting in there and having
you,
a disruption.
Drop the mic on that.
Go ahead, AF, because we're at the end.
You mentioned this individual, this goon. Now, the fact that this person hasn't been charged, to my knowledge, that's very telling, I think.
That's very telling.
I mean, you try making those threats to somebody else and see what happens.
They will find you. They will hunt you down. Now, we have 30 seconds left with our guests. I just want to ask you, we're going to end on a much lighter note. Is there one movie about black history that you think needs to be made? I mean, we have thousands of stories that could be told. But just very quickly, what do you think? Dr. Ray?
Ida B. Wells Barnett.
Okay. Dr. Ronnie?
I think it has been made, the African-Americans.
The journey. Okay. Mm-hmm. AF, this is a quick putting
the
you on the spot.
The Wilmington insurrection or Wilmington race riots, as it's known?
I want to see an epic gladiator-type film on Hannibal Barker.
I would like to see Coretta Scott King's and Betty Shabazz's story told behind the scenes. What happens with women when they become widows? I want to say thank you so much to Emmy Award-winning documentary star Stanley Nelson for joining us. We had Haru in the studio along with Dr. Ray Wimbush. Thank you both. Dr. Ronnie Elliott and A.F. James MacArthur. I urge everyone to go out and support black films. Make your dollar count. Go and see the Black Panthers. Rent Eyes on the Prize. Commit yourself to learning history and read 30 minutes to your child something about black history every single day.
That's right.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrew Melton. Our interns are Sienna Greaves, Monifa Wilson, and Calvin Perry. Our theme music is by Wall Matthews of Clean Cut. Send me your thoughts about today's show to talk@steinershow.org. To podcast The Mark Steiner Show and share it with all of your friends and family, visit us on the web at www.steinershow.org or listen to us on your favorite podcasting app. We are your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. This is Dr. K. I've been sitting in on Mark Steiner for The Mark Steiner Show. Be the change that you want to see in the world. Thank you so much.